Hey, it's Mike Valenti. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valenti Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
I'm going to give you and Kang a quiz here.
Great. Here we go, Kang.
This guy is a world champion. I'm going to give you his name, and based upon his name, awesome, I want you to tell me what he's the world champion of. His name is Sven Seljom.
How do you spell Seljom?
S-E-L-J-O-M.
Sven Seljom.
Yep.
My first thought goes towards like world's strongest man type thing.
Kang. I like where you're headed.
Sven Seljom. He was a first time competitor. Claimed the coveted title of world champion.
Is he a first time world champion?
He's a first time competitor. So there were 30 competitors from 14 countries, including the U.S., Canada, amongst them.
Do you know who the U.S. competitor was?
I do not. The story doesn't say. Sven Seljom, world champion.
I think we got to go off the board a little bit because I feel like...
Don't
focus on the name too much. I think that could throw us off if it makes any sense. You know what I mean?
14 nations. What are the other nations?
Yeah.
Let's see here. 14 countries, including U.S., Canada, Norway, Australia, Pakistan, the Philippines, and Finland.
Okay, does narrow things down.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He said winning this was a great honor. First heard about this competition many years ago on Norwegian radio and thought it sounded really different. Okay. I wanted to enter ever since.
Oof.
The thing that's going to throw me off is there's a guy from Pakistan as well. So you got a Paki and you got Scandinavians.
We're locked into you said Pakistan. Yeah, man.
I'm like thinking it's gonna be something germane to cold weather, or it's gonna be germane to like the strongman competition. We know where those people are from. I don't expect Pakistan to be repping in the world's strongest man competition.
The Philippines was in there too, so I don't think, you know. I thought something cold until those two countries came up. Like maybe.
Thailand, is that part of it too or no?
I didn't say Thailand.
I'm thinking something dumb like rock, paper, scissors champion. Like something like that.
Okay.
You know? Like is there a squid game or something?
Sven Seljom.
I'm going to go hide and seek champion.
Okay. Hide and seek champion. All right. Hide and seek. Is that your final answer? Hide and seek, and you're going rock, paper, scissors, Kang.
I am going with kite flying.
All right. First-time competitor from Norway has stirred up success by claiming the coveted title of world porridge-making champion. Sven Seljom from Mandal claimed the golden spurtle trophy by adding his own twist to the Scottish delicacy at the annual event held at Carrabridge in the Highlands. His dish was made with Norwegian black oats with sea salt and water, which he brought with him from home. The black oats in his dish are of an ancient grain, which used to be grown all over Europe, but largely disappeared in the 1800s. Sven Seljom, world porridge making champion. And there you go.
Gator, would you eat that?
I tried porridge. Yeah, I don't know porridge. Yeah. I think this is quite a letdown.
Is it?
Yeah. Porridge making.
Yep. Whereas kite flying was really exciting.
Kite flying, I mean, Kang had me there. I was like, okay, kite flying. You know, this is like, you know, this guy won the chili cook-off.
In
Oslo, you know.
Well, what do you think matters? He's from Norway. What do you think would do better in Norway? A chili cook-off or a porridge-making championship?
I guess porridge.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude won in his first try. He's a rookie.
Yeah, but so he's had this in his back pocket. When you were like... He heard about it on a radio station or something?
Yeah,
a radio
ad. He was listening to radio.
Who do you think was judging this, Kang?
I can give you one of the judges.
Are there celebrity judges?
Are they like Food Network judges?
Yeah. Alan Rankin was one of the porridge judges. The standard this year was exceptional. It's wonderful to see the event continuing to go from strength to strength.
Alan Rankin?
Yeah. So there you go.
Is that the only...
That's the only one that's quoted in the story.
R-A-N-K-I-N?
Yes.
You a porridge guy, Doug?
I'm not. I'm more of an oatmeal dude. I'll go with some oatmeal occasionally. I like steel cut oats. You like steel cut oats? No? Just me? Okay, yep. 248-539-9797. You got anything else to add, or we go back to the phones?
I know. I just went to Google to try to find anything about this guy. It says Australian triumphs at World Porridge Championships.
Well, there was a specialty award that went to an Australian as well.
The event's porridge chieftain, Alan Rankin.
Yep, there you go.
Told the media the standard.
Australian food stylist Carolyn Velk won the traditional porridge. So the first prize goes to traditional porridge where you can only use three ingredients, oatmeal, water, and salt. The additional prize is specialty porridge. That's what the Aussie won. She made porridge yaffles, a yogurt flatbread filled with rum bananas,
Wait a second.
What?
You can only use three ingredients?
For regular porridge, you can only use three ingredients.
I mean, how different can they be?
But the competition, you could use more than three ingredients, right?
Well, no. The World Porridge Champion is making traditional porridge, which is oatmeal, water, and salt. Then there's an additional prize, specialty porridge, which went to the Australian.
But for the regular porridge championship, you can only use three ingredients.
Yes.
When
the oatmeal.
He used the salt. He brought the black salt. Oats.
Yeah.
And he brought his water from Norway, his own water.
How did he get that through TSA?
I don't know.
You don't want to know. You do not want to know.
Packed it in his. He didn't have it in his carry-on.
Obviously. Oh yeah. Okay. He checked
his carry-in.
All right. There you go.
I thought you could make porridge with rice too. Am I wrong? Or
I didn't know that's what it was. It was like oatmeal. I had no idea that's what porridge. I thought porridge was like a thick soup. Is what I thought.
I thought like a with any consistency of like something creamy. Like
I'm thinking Goldilocks. I'm not thinking Goldilocks. Like rocking a bowl of oatmeal and you know. Oh, what's this? Is this too much? Well, it's just you know oats, salt, and water. Thanks, Mama Bear.
In 2023, the winner was Pakistani.
Well,
yep. So I guess Pakistan has a deep history of porridge, high-end porridge champions.
You would think that maybe in the United States, somewhere in the in Pennsylvania, the Amish country, maybe we got some people that are standouts.
Yeah, you might.
I'm just thinking of the Quaker oats, you know.
Yeah, but they can't take the buggies over to Norway where the competition was held. They
take a boat.
It could. Let's get back to your phone calls. Tony and Madison Heights, you're next. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking a call. You know, you're talking about where the money's coming from to hire free agents. So one thing that's never discussed, for the last year and a half, I'm sure their budget for attendance has been greatly exceeded. So that excess money has got to be going into the vault somewhere with interest and making money and just sitting there waiting to hire or sign some free agents. Because what do they have, $2.4 million this year? I'm sure their budget was, you know, a lot less than that. So no one's talking about the excess. And I don't think they were, you know, like in deep straits before that, you know, like say a year and a half.
I would say this, Tony. I mean, I think that it's you know, you go back and look at how much they were spending before, you know, when they were – when Mike Ilitch was alive in the 2010 era, it was like a $200 million payroll because they were getting 2.5-3 million people through the turnstiles. I don't think it's any different than now. I do think they have money to spend. I think, and with TV deals and everything else going up, I think that they could probably spend close to $200 million if they wanted to, if not more. And if you're going to do that, go get yourself a stud starting pitcher. You can also make an offer to Tarek Skubal. You can get a stud closer. Yep. And then you promote the guys you want to promote from the lineup.
Money shouldn't be the issue.
I agree.
And one quickie on Skubal. You know, Skubal's a big quality of life guy. You know, he's from Seattle, and he's got that newborn, you know, well, not newborn, but really young toddler, you know, I think we should, you know, say, hey, wait a minute. You know, you want the kids to grow up in Manhattan? You want the kids to grow up in San Diego? You can't get a, you know, he seems to enjoy it here. Raise your kids in, you know, the heartland of America.
You know, some people actually, you might find this crazy, but some people actually like New York and San Diego.
He actually grew up in Arizona, but yeah.
No, I'm talking about he's here now. And you know how many people retire when they jump around? Let's hockey players are big on this. When they come to Detroit and then they get traded and go to four different, you know, stops. When they retire, they come back to Detroit. Yeah.
It's hockey players, not baseball players.
I love selling it. Yeah. You were the first person that ever has said ever, where do you want to live, Detroit or San Diego? Ugh.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Sandy goes, absolutely the worst.
The only problem with San Diego is how expensive it is, and that's not a problem for Tarek Skubal.
No, it's not a problem.
The weather's too good.
Who wants 82 degrees every day?
Well, let's talk to someone here that just moved here from San Diego for, you know, work, and I asked him how the weather was. He goes, every day it was perfect.
Literally, every day.
Every day. I was not too cold and not too hot. Yeah. And I wore shorts and a t-shirt.
Every day.
He just argued.
He tried.
He's a quality of life guy. What do you want to be, San Diego?
San Diego? Maybe authentic Mexican street food? You want that?
The beaches?
Beaches? What? Or... No. Look, I love it here. I have no desire to move anywhere other than Michigan.
I love visiting San Diego.
San Diego's amazing.
But I love this state. I love the change of seasons. I would miss that if I didn't live here. But I think that's a historically interesting sell.
How about we go with this first point? Okay, they do have money.
Yes.
The question is, when all is said and done, do they care how much they're paying him if their payroll stays below a certain point?
I don't know.
If they're willing to spend $210 million on a payroll, does it matter if you're spending $70 million on Tarek Skubal? I'm just throwing a ridiculous number out there. As long as you're staying underneath that number, do you care? If he's helping you win,
it's what you probably do care when you start thinking about other players you're going to want to re-sign in the future. But
hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.